We're the Bungie Kids with plasma pistols glowing. It's our podcast show with Brian and friends
and Frankie.
Welcome to the Bungie Podcast.
Hello everyone, you're listening to the Bungie Podcast. We're back. I'm joined in the studio today by, of course, Luke Smith. But we have a couple of special guests, don't we, Luke? Who are they?
We have Tyson Green and Lars Bakken. What are you guys here to do?
Yeah.
We're here to talk about Forge.
Well, what gives you the expertise and the ability to talk about Forge, more to the point?
Tyson and myself are responsible for the Forge as it stands in Halo 3. And we know a lot of people don't quite understand what it is yet. We realize it is a little difficult to wrap your head around it, so we wanted to join you guys and talk about it.
Sweet. So why don't you just give us the high level, what is Forge?
So the Forge is, from a high level, an object editor that works inside of our game engine. You're able to load up a multiplayer map and switch into an editing mode. You become a monitor and you can sort of fly around the map. And when you're doing that, you can manipulate, grab, you know, move objects, change some things about those objects, like how fast they respawn. And the thing that's neat about the Forge is that you can do this at the same time as other players are in your game with you. So it's a multiplayer map editor in sort of every sense of the term.
So you have no ability to change the actual geometry of the basic maps, but you can do whatever you like within that geometry using all of the objects from the Halo universe. There's got to be some limits though, right?
Of course. I mean, there's always going to be limits. Like each map only has a certain amount of objects on it, but every single object in the map you can pick up, move around. The one exception, of course, in Sandtrap is the Behemoth, but I think that's the only exception out of all the multiplayer maps. So every single thing you can pick up, every weapon, every grenade, every piece of equipment, every crate, every fusion coil, you can interact with all of it. So you're correct that you can't interact with the level geometry, but everything else is fair game, including things that are invisible normally, which are spawn points and spawn influencers, for instance, which I know that's a little bit more in depth and a little harder to understand at first.
Right. You can use pretty much anything that the designers use to set up our maps that we'll ship the game with. So all of the tools that we have available to us are also exposed in the Forge.
So the ultimate goal when you're using Forge is to create a variant of the map that is fun for some custom design purpose that you either planned or accidentally came across while you're tooling around with it. But to go back to your original statement, you play the part of a monitor. Now, that's like 343 Guilty Spark, the little glowing blue ball guy. And while you're in there, you're literally levitating things almost like the Force when you're moving them around. And you can use your controller to rotate them and you know, place them any way you like. Now, explain to the listeners what's the difference between while I'm in Forge playing with Forge and the map that I then subsequently create in Forge?
So the map that you create in Forge, you can save that out, share it with your friends, put it in your shared space on BungieNet, and then you can load it up and play just a straight-up game of Slayer or CTF or Infection on it. But when you're actually playing in the Forge, I mean, all those tools are available to you, so it makes for some interesting gameplay opportunities where, you know, you see some little monitor flying across the map, but he's on the other team, so you start shooting at him. And he turns around, and he can't shoot back, but he can create a fusion coil and then throw the fusion coil at you and try and blow you up that way. Or he can just create a bigger crate and use it to block your bullets as they're coming in towards you. Or he can just work with his teammate and give his teammate a sniper rifle so his teammate can shoot your ass.
Can he just spawn a tank and get in that?
Sure, you can do that on some of the maps. Like Lars said earlier, not all of the maps have all of the objects on them. It would be a little preposterous to have a Scorpion tank on Guardian, for example. So each map has its own custom-tailored, specifically chosen set of objects that are available on it.
But you will have access to some objects that ordinarily aren't there in matchmaking, say, for balance reasons. So you have more variety than normal. Yeah.
By default, the Scorpion is not actually on any of our maps by default. It's placed on the maps by using the Forge. And there are some other objects in the game that are like that, too.
No, I was just going to say there are specific objects in the Forge, too, that aren't available anywhere else. We kind of wanted to give people some toys. So one of those things is we've touched upon before, and I don't think anyone quite grasps how cool this is. But one of the power-ups is the yellow power-up. You know, the two other ones you guys know about, which are the blue, which is active camo, and the red, which is overshield, which people have seen in previous Halo games. Now we have this yellow one, which is specific for Forge. And basically, you can customize this power-up to be whatever you want using player traits. So if you want it to be, you want it to give you low gravity, really fast run speed, and active camo, all those things together, you can do that and then place it anywhere on the map in your version of high ground, for instance.
Right. So it's kind of like a power-up that makes you some variant of an instant juggernaut, right?
You
pick it up and you can fast, jump super high, whatever.
You can have it do whatever you want in terms of player traits.
And once you place it in the Forge, you can load it up in a game of CTF or a game of Territories, and it still works in those.
It'll work on any custom game on Live or System Link or Spitzcom, whatever.
Yep.
So you said earlier that I can shoot a monitor. How do I do that if I'm a monitor? That's not all there is to it, right?
That's not all there is to it, because you can toggle between player and monitor mode at any time when you're in the Forge. So you start the game off in player mode, you toggle into monitor mode, and then, you know, if you see another monitor or if you just want to test out something that you've done, like see if you can jump on top of that crate, then you just toggle back into player mode, and when you're in that mode, you can shoot and play and basically do everything that you can in any normal custom game mode.
So any gameplay that you play in the Forge editor, any actual fun that you have in there, the rules are going to be honor-based, right? Because Forge is the editor.
So, the Forge, one of the sort of goals that we realized early on was that this should be a place where people can play all kinds of strange, crazy honor rules games. Like, people did that a lot in Halo 2. They made games like Dawn of the Dead, which we sort of nicked and turned into Infection. But the Forge gives you all kinds of just outrageous new tools for building your own custom game types. Around in the office, we play a bunch of silly ones like Grab the Mongoose and Magic Carpet and Rocket Race and things like that.
Rocket Race.
So Rocket Race is the example that Lars used when we had the press visiting a little while back, where he took Sandtrap, placed a bunch of territories.
I can explain it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right, the way it works is that we don't technically have a race mode in Halo 3. We didn't have one in Halo 2 either. It was in Halo 1, and I think there were a segment of the population that lamented that loss. So one day Tyson and I were talking about like how can we reuse one of our existing game engines to do something like race, and we came up with using VIP, because there's a version of VIP which is escort, which means you have to get the VIP to a location on the map, and we have these points you can place down in Forge, and you have up to 12, I think. So you can place these randomly around the map. So I place these VIP destination zones, as we call them, around Sandtrap, and then set up four separate team spawn locations, all with quickly replenishing mongooses. Teams of two. One person's the driver. The VIP can't actually drive, so he's forced to be on the back of the Mongoose, and everyone has rockets, and you can imagine what happens from
and damage, that. Damage resistance as well, right?
Yeah, damage resistance was turned up as well, so you could actually take a couple of hits, so people weren't dying from one rocket blast, but you can imagine the fun people were having with that.
Come fast around a corner, smack dab into a rocket, and then it's actually better to knock your opponent over and get them off their Mongoose than it is necessarily to kill them.
And so Bungie's planning on watching what's going on in the community and seeing what kind of cool game types people can come up with. Because that took you 5 minutes to make that thing. You did some tuning to it, but it was pretty quick to put together.
Right.
So the community's going to do things we haven't even thought of yet. So how are people going to get to see cool community content, and how are they going to get to play it?
So we have sort of two tools for doing that. They're both sort of built off our file sharing system, which really handles all the files that we want people to be able to share in the game. The first is we have a Bungie Recommends, which is accessible from inside the game all the time. You can go there and see, I think there's like 24 slots that we have set aside that we just will post things that we think are cool there. So if we have a cool game variant or a cool film or a cool map variant, then, you know, it goes up in Bungie Recommends, and then, you know, many thousands of people will be able to see it and download it if they want. The other tool that we have available is BungieNet, and the file sharing system is exposed to BungieNet in such a way that you can search for stuff, you can look at things that your friends are sharing, that your friends are recommending, and in that way, sort of find the cool stuff that's out there. Sort of, a lot of these things will spread by word of mouth. A lot of these things will be recommended from friends. So yeah, it's going to spread around just sort of virally, I think.
I think you guys were talking about Infected earlier as an example, just of a game type, but it was also a really good example of how the Forge could be used is the High Ground Infected variant, where you imagine the map High Ground that we had in the beta has, I think it's three main entrances to get into the base. In Forge, you're able to just dump garbage in front of those entrances and block them completely. And you can do it pretty permanently with semi-indestructible objects, or you can do it with destructible objects and just make it tough for the infected zombies to get into the base. So a human team can stay in the base and just defend it until these barriers are either eradicated or until the game is over, right?
Yeah, one of the first things we actually did with Forge when we showed it off at the team meeting was Tyson was, you know, messing around on High Ground, and then I showed up coming down, you know, coming from the beach, and we both, you know, took about 3 minutes and set up a bunch of barricades and huge crates and boxes around the front gate, and we basically made it look like haphazard, you know, humans had just thrown a bunch of crap in front of these structures that normally would be, you know, completely open, and so it looked like something out a scene out of a zombie movie. And then on top of the wall, we placed like three turrets, multiple respawning shotguns, sniper rifles, and so you can imagine the setup that you could have. And then, you know, you make the zombies spawn at the beach, and you have the humans spawn behind the base wall, and then you let the magic happen.
Sort of, it looks amazingly authentic when you use sort of ramshackle pieces to block off the entrances, and then, you know, you have the zombies coming up and chopping away at the wooden pallets and crates that are blocking off the entrances.
So what are the limits? You're a monitor, so you can fly around and you're practically omnipotent. You can levitate any object. You can teleport things into existence. What are the actual limits when you're controlling the monitor?
I mean, there are certain bounds in the map which we use to just sort of keep people in the playable space. Certainly there are certain speed constraints that are applied just so the monitor isn't difficult to control or anything. He only has about the same vitality as the player by default, but there's a set of player traits specific to the monitor. So, you know, if you're fed up with your little brother shooting you up while you're trying to set up your masterpiece, you can just make yourself invulnerable. As far as the Forge goes, though, I mean, you can only hold one object at a time. There's a finite number of objects you can actually create on the map.
It's kind of a budget, right?
Yeah, there's like a budget of there's a budget of dollars that you can spend on the map. And that's really just in place to keep people from you know, placing so many objects that the game slows down to two frames a second.
So the you have all of this stuff. You have your budget. Again, if you're playing games within the Forge interface, they're all honor based. Don't you think that people are going to have wanted the other stuff that Forge lets you do, like levitating stuff and all that, with rules, with like kill limits and that kind of thing?
The thought had crossed our minds, but really our focus this time around was we just want to make sure that the editing characteristics of the Forge were the first top priority and make sure that those were good and solid. And I think as things turned out, that was probably the right call to have made.
So, Luke, I know you've read all the stories about Forge that have made it out there, like Edge and so forth, and people get it in various different levels of understanding. But the one thing I've noticed that nobody seems to really be talking about is the fact that it's 8-player multiplayer on Xbox Live. So you can have 8 monitors manipulating the map simultaneously and collaborating. How do you think, how would you describe that experience?
The experience of 8 players collaborating?
Yeah.
Well, it breaks down into arguing because you want more Spartan lasers and I want more BRs.
Right. And so everyone's like competing to build maps. Like, how do you keep it collaborative?
Well, I don't know. You and I don't get to collaborate. We just argue. I have to go find other people to make maps with, like Lars. Lars and I, you know, we agree.
I'll sit in a corner and twist my box in 3D space, and Luke will be creating BRs all across the beach and high ground and putting down plasma grenades.
Send me an invite. I promise I'll be cool this time. Well, that's another thing. Like when you're building a careful tower of fusion coils, you can accidentally blow them up just by throwing them around with physics. But how does that work again? They sort of respawn instantly when you wreck them?
No, there's you can set quotas for objects in the map so that they respawn quickly, and there's a certain number of the objects always on the map at a time, but all the objects in the Forge are just, they're tied into the same respawning systems that control, you know, when your Warthog respawns in a game of CTF.
Which, again, you can control it in the Forge. So.
Like, you select the object, basically, hit X, and then there are a bunch of properties you can edit, and one of those, the first ones is the respawn time. You just dial that back or increase that up depending on what you need.
I actually don't know the answer to this, so I might have to cut it out if it's bad. But isn't there a way, the way that the Forge maps are forged and built would allow us to potentially implement those into our matchmaking system at some point?
Yeah, the way Forge is, the way map variants are set up to work, like game variants, they are pushed as part of the playlist configuration. So when you jump into a playlist in matchmaking, you're not just getting the game variant, you're also getting a map variant too. So if we got into this situation like with Colossus in Halo 2 where the sniper rifle was just broken, like it was too
easy
to
control.
Unless you had it, then it was perfect. Like we could say, oh wow, that was kind of dumb. We should fix that, and then we could actually fix that without requiring a title update or any of that.
Or more positive use would be some kid makes the most awesome map variant ever, and we can prop it to matchmaking because everyone loves it, right?
For sure. Yeah, I mean, if we want to have Rocket Race, you know, Tuesday, fire up a hopper that's nothing but Rocket Race.
Yeah. How much money will we give that kid? That's right. None. It's ours. We own it. Read the license agreement.
Good old license agreement.
Yeah.
That to me is the stuff that's going to be really exciting. As Sketch and I have talked about before, the idea of having community hoppers and stuff that bubbles up. And Bungie Recommends also, I believe, is going to be archived on BNet. So as the Bungie Recommends stuff updates, you're going to be able to go to BNet and see stuff that was previously recommended. And the possibilities of, you know, going in and playing in a matchmaking hopper of just stuff people have made is pretty cool.
Well, the first thing I thought when I saw Forge, apart from, oh my God, what's that? Was, you know, and this is selfish, but we could build a hump day challenge variant with all sorts of crazy rules and schemes and placement of objects and stuff. And then not only recommend that saved film so people can see it instead of clicking on our crappy tables, they can watch it And they can play it. They can play that map variant. We can make that available, and they can try it themselves.
Yeah, I mean, we can make a variant of, you know, Snowbound or something where the Bungie side always spawns with active camos.
Veto. Oh, interesting. Veto. Veto. Veto.
Other,
veto,
the, veto. You know, whoever we play against spawns with custom power-ups that take away their shields and give them slow movement speed.
What a unique and interesting idea for hump days for this fall. Wow. That's going to be great.
Not that we'd ever do that.
You guys, you're the blue team. Yeah. Yep. You are the blue team.
Yeah, you guys go blue.
PMS clan, you guys go blue. We're red.
One of the games we were just talking about the other day was, yeah, you know, take Infection, put them on high ground, and, you know, arm the humans to the teeth, but down at the bottom of the hill, just put some active camo power-ups. So the zombies, you know, they can be invisible sometimes, and you can't just be, you know, laughing at the zombies and picking them off, because there might be one sneaking up on the side.
Sounds awesome to me.
Turn a motion tracker off as well.
Yeah.
Well, everyone, you know, you should actually play with motion tracker up anyway. It's motion tracker
for noobs.
What are you, MLG?
Yeah, here we go, Luke. Why don't we just have VR
starts?
Turn the shields off. VR starts.
Yeah.
Let's play no shields, human pistols, with scopes. Go.
Yeah, you'll be pleased to know that neither Luke Smith nor HBO are allowed to invent game types for matchmaking.
Luke out. Why you gotta hate?
Luke out. Yeah. What is that? Jump with BRs. that's a creation.
Nothing but BRs.
There's actually an ample amount of scoped weapons on Guardian right now. They come back quickly.
God. Yep.
So, what are you guys most looking forward to, Tyson and Loris, about Forge? What do you expect, and what would you like to see?
Once people get past the warm up phase where they get the Forge and then they spend a few hours doing nothing but place fusion coils in unique and interesting towers. I'm really looking forward to see what some of the unexpected crazy things are, and then what some of the really thoughtful, I've spent 3 months setting up this variant and tweaking it and doing nothing but figuring out everything that's awesome about this variant. I want to see those things. I want to see what percolates out of the community.
I'm totally excited to see that as well, but I'm also in the same respect where, you know, when we were first talking to the press about Forge, where we said, and I think it still holds true, we just don't know what people are going to do with the Forge yet. It's so open-ended that, you know, we gave the example of each team having a monitor and creating weapons and flying around the map and doing kind of an RTS style game in Halo in the Forge while you're playing. And like, that's just a simple example of, I think, the kind of games that people will come up with. So I'm excited to see what kind of weird honor rules games our fans are going to come up and start playing.
But I mean, specifically to the Forge variants that you save and then use, I mean, they're now hardwired on your drive until you delete them. And they're real game variants, they're real map variants. You're practically giving them the same number of tools and the same flexibility of tools that you have as a game designer.
Yep.
When you're building a multiplayer map, you have roughly those tools. And in fact, these are a little easier, in some ways more flexible than the ones you're used to using.
Yeah, for a while there was actually some things we could do in the Forge that we couldn't actually do in the our built-in map editor. I mean, we had to fix those, obviously, because we can't ship
because of the embarrassment.
Maps. Right. Well, yeah. We just went over and shamed Matt and Bob for a while.
Lars?
I don't know.
What do you mean? You don't know? You're just trying to protect your job and kiss some kids?
Just put
together awesome maps?
I spaced off for a second. So what was the question again?
It's that interesting and exciting.
Lars had a big lunch today.
Yeah.
It was a turkey sandwich.
Turkey sandwich. I'm asleep now. Yeah, I don't know.
Lars answered the question already. Lars answered the question. And then you went back to Lars again. No wonder the boy looks confused.
I wasn't satisfied with his answer. I wanted him to say he was scared of losing his job to the kid.
Losing my job to the community.
So you can set the weapon timers. You can actually set exactly how you want a weapon to perform on a given map. And you can similarly set the spawn points on a given map in incredible and great detail as well, correct?
Yeah, I think I don't know how much we've talked about that before, but yes, like all the spawn points that we've set, you have access to move around. You can delete all of them on the map if you wanted to and start from scratch. You can actually set down respawn zones where the teams are going to actually be forced to spawn unless, you know, there's extreme action going on there, like grenades going off or what have you. So yes, we're giving them an amazing amount of power that I think most people won't necessarily mess with spawning, but it's there if you want to tweak it. And I'm assuming some people, like for instance MLG, are going to want to look at these things in great depth. They're not just going to want to look at how often the sniper rifle and the active camo comes back, but they're going to want to look at spawning in particular.
Well, tournament guys are going to have way more tools to super strip it down to whatever it is precisely that they need. So it's a huge tool for them.
The original plan actually was not to allow spawn points to be editable. That was something we had to add in because we couldn't really figure out a way to make it so that, you know, if you want to change where the bases are on sand traps, so they're on, you know, the east and west side of the map instead, there was no real way to make it so players could spawn there unless they could actually edit the spawn points. So yeah, I mean that's functionality that's there for people who really need it and want it. Hopefully most people won't have to deal with it. You can just use the default spawn points, but yeah, then you have tournament players or tournament organizers like MLG who, you know, they may have decided that these six spawn points are really unfair because, you know, they spawn you 2 feet closer to the sniper rifle, so they can yank those back a little bit or yank them out entirely.
Well, there's one thing. I mean, I know we said you can't change the geometry of a map, but there's one thing I was surprised that you can do that completely changes the flow of a map instantly, which is spawn teleporters.
Yeah, teleporters aren't on any of our maps by default, but we made sure that they work and they work well, and that was so that people could use them in the forge. You can make a wall by, you know, stacking up crates, but you can't make a hole in the wall because of the way our map geometry works. So, you know, if you ever wanted to add a doorway into a base, there was really no way of doing that. Unless you use a teleporter and just put teleporters on either side of the wall to connect those points in space. It turns out, though, that the teleporters are maybe even a little bit more robust than we thought, because we started seeing things where you can drop a teleporter receiver point and then actually pick up the teleporter sender point and you'd be holding it and then, you know, push it into a wall and then fly into it, and you will actually teleport to the receiver while still holding the teleporter that you just teleported with.
It kind of breaks the rules of time and space, yeah, but it's awesome.
Blew my mind.
It's like throwing down the portable hole, jumping
like
into it, and pulling
climbing
it.
And pulling it.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing, like you just reminded me, Tyson, of this thing that we started playing in Forge, which is, you know, you take a map like Sandtrap or Snowbound. People are familiar with Snowbound, so I'll use that. You know, people know about the turrets on Snowbound. You can actually put the receiver end out, you know, in the turret range, then set up the teleporter, you know, grab the teleporter end as a monitor, fly around, swipe it over people that are running around on Snowbound. They automatically get teleported out into the death zone and gunned down. It's awesome.
But I mean, you could put that in a permanent game too. You could just put a death trap teleport that just leads
to hell. Yes, of course you could.
That's a good idea for the hump day.
Hump day.
Oh, go, there's a power
GM, go through that door. That's where the rocket launcher is.
Yeah, well, Shoe crying, Luke licking tears. Oh my god.
But there's
Schrodinger's teleporter where there's one entry point and two exit points, and one goes to the rocket launcher and the other goes to the bottomless pit.
Is that possible?
Which are you going to go in? Yeah, that's possible.
can we set it so that the teleporter that the red team goes in goes to wind down and the teleporter that blue team goes in to fail?
Yeah, can it be team
specific? Yeah, too much possibility for abuse there, I'm afraid.
Well, what do you mean?
That's what we're asking. I mean, we want...
You said there was also, and now I'm getting down to the nitty gritty, but it fascinates me that you can have a permanent grav lift, a grav lift that never expires, right?
Yeah, I had a bug sitting on my plate for about 4 months, which was people wanted a man cannon that they could place in the forge, and Those objects are a little weird, and they don't really lend themselves well to being manhandled around the map by anyone but an expert. But we have these, yeah, like Lars.
Lars just Lars pointed at himself.
It's a joke.
And the other problem is that I didn't have any art for it, but what I did have is the portable grav lift object, and I eventually got to this point where I was sick of the bug sitting on my plate, and I didn't have any art for it, so I just took that object and made a version of it which just hangs around indefinitely. And you can place a few of those on each map. So if there's, you know, a particular place that you want to be able to vault over a wall every time, or, you know, you just need something to lob a crate around perpetually, that's what those are in the map for.
I can angle them too, right? I can rotate it and angle it. And...
yeah, they're kind of difficult to place, especially placing them near other objects and placing other objects near them because they're kind of grabby.
Yeah. But I'm thinking about leaning it against the base of a rock in the ground and having it, you know, shoot up at an angle instead of directly up.
That works just fine.
So I could make like a crazy pinball scheme using all my permanent grav lifts and just like bounce around a map as long as I measure the jump right.
I'm kind of curious to see if there's going to be any, Rube Goldberg machines that come out of this where...
I would imagine people
using fusion coils and grav lifts and stacks of crates.
Well, it's like that game Mousetrap.
Yeah,
that I used to build.
I mean, I watched Tyson. I watched you at your desk the other day. You made a perpetual fusion coil trail that, you know, you made a long line of fusion coils that looped around back to the beginning, and it was long enough, and the respawn settings were the correct time that you set off the first one, it went all the way down the line like dominoes, and then the first one spawned in again before it got back, and it was pretty awesome.
It's just an incredibly pointless, dangerous
place. Pointless, but awesome. Yeah.
You just make a dangerous area.
Yeah.
Don't go here. It's bad. Here's the flag.
And then have EGM teleport to it.
I'm glad you're off PMS clan, because we're not mad at them.
No, yeah, I forgot.
They don't chat or lie.
It's really good for testing stuff too, right? We needed to figure out, you know, do the teleporters ever crash you? Like, do they ever, you know, overload or do anything weird? So we set up a couple teleporters in such a fashion that the player would come out of the teleporter moving fast enough to throw himself back into the teleporter and then just keep doing this perpetually. And it was like, I just left that on my machine over the weekend and came back in on Monday and it was still doing it, so...
I'm glad game characters don't have souls, because that one's condemned to hell.
No, make it end.
Press stop.
I'm trying to think of what else there is to talk about.
I think the problem with this is, like, it all sounds awesome, but until you actually pick up the controller
and you're moving around
as the monitor, you're not going to get it, because... everyone I've ever seen who picks it up is like a kid when they realize what they can do, and they're like, yay, and they press their you know, levitate button, for want of a better word, and just start moving these objects around. It's just fun.
Yeah, I just see that's like just like one basic understanding of it, though. Like when it was first explained to me, and Tyson ruined the example earlier, the first time I heard about Forge, my first thought was Colossus is like redeemable. Like, that was the first way that I thought of Forge was, you know, it's all these different ways to play maps where you actually get all into, like, you get into the element of the play in the Forge.
I can't believe you just said that. You were like, oh, my God, with these tools, I can make that sniper rifle a BR. That's exactly what you were thinking, wasn't it? I have all the powers of God and I should drop a BR.
Put a fuel rod cannon down. I missed that.
Yay.
So fuel rod cannon, what's that? It's not in our game.
Yeah, it is.
But I can place it in Forge now.
Yeah,
right. Exactly. Anywhere.
It's possible.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about things from single player? People have seen a lot of the multiplayer objects in various articles and screenshots and whatnot. Is there anything that's only otherwise usable in single player that I can use in Forge? You don't have to name the things.
You can name the thing, the one thing I'm thinking of. The fourth thing.
I'm thinking of actually a couple of things, but
there are a couple of things, right?
Yeah, you can.
No. Well, somebody do a mime that shows me what the fourth thing is, and I'll tell you whether
it's the fourth thing that I think you're thinking of. Maybe you should just say it.
Yeah, if all else fails, use fire. The fourth grenade.
Well, there's not just grenades.
Yeah, well, anything that has anything to do with fire, they know about.
There's a certain thing called a flamethrower that you might be able to place on awesome with Forge.
Like, you're like that movie Blast from the Past. Because that's not what I'm talking about. The flamethrower and grenade will have been revealed. Yeah. The incendiary grenade will have been revealed by the time. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this thing.
Yes.
I didn't talk about that.
I think that's also been revealed.
Been revealed, but we haven't revealed in a way available in multiplayer.
Yeah. To put that one to rest, the Hornet will be usable in multiplayer.
Yay, mystery solved.
On particular maps which are big enough to support it. So
right like now, Guardian.
It probably won't be available on the map where it actually appears by default as a background image, right? Or a background object. It's a map that shown yet. Yeah. There's a Hornet parked in it. You won't be able to use it.
There's not quite enough room in the playable space.
There was before you replaced it with just a crate. Because it used to be a real Hornet, and I would teleport through the fence and go fly it around that level for a little bit.
I'm thinking of a different level with the Hornet.
I was thinking of the same one he's talking
about. You were? Okay, yeah. I was thinking of the one you're thinking of. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Luke and I were on the same page there. One of the multi-level lists
that you never want to play on, because you're like, all you do is go up top, get BR.
Well, that's true of any map. You didn't narrow it down.
With the waterfalls.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But it's cool. That used to be a Banshee, though, didn't it?
A long time ago.
When I first started, it was a Hornet, and I was like, what is this? Yeah. And I got in, and people were like, no, get out. And then I had What's a Killing Frenzy?
Yeah, because the Hornet is it's quite heavily armed, and it's not balanced
at all.
It's just too powerful to be in matchmaking, so it'll probably never end up in matchmaking. But I mean, when you're making custom games, of course you want it, so now you have the tools to do it, right?
And then you would have the red team spawn near that,
or you could have the blue team spawn near it, but everyone on the red team spawn with Spartan lasers.
I don't think we want to give them plasma pistols. What we got that's weaker than a single plasma pistol?
The pistol.
Oh my god. Wow. can you can't do stuff like that in Forge. You can't actually change the weapon's strength. Right. That's one thing that you can't modify.
The strength of the weapons is not exposed. The parameters and properties of the weapons not exposed in the Forge. You can adjust how much ammunition the weapons start with, but that's that's about the extent.
But you can adjust it downwards, right, from a maximum knot.
Right. I mean,
they can start.
You can go up and
up
and down
shot.
Like three clips. I think is the maximum that you can.
And it's clips,
like the assault rifle only spawns with 15 bullets. Right. It's not that minute.
We would have totally used that against EGN.
Are you trying to set up another hump day on the slide?
They want to play, but they want time after the game ships to get good.
I say within the first 12 hours that it gets sold at stores, we should do a hump day. Huh. I don't know. Yeah. That's just me.
Or the day before, maybe.
Yeah, the day before it comes out.
Or we'll be playing with
France. If they didn't show, then they've...
Oh, ouch. Oh, man.
We love the French here.
Merci. But so what else, guys? I mean, it sounds like we've pretty much covered everything that you can describe verbally in Forge. But again, I mean, to Luke's point, I like to talk about the touchy-feely element of it. But it's true. When you're in there, it doesn't feel like an editor or a tool. It feels like a game. It feels like I'm playing a cool game.
Well, that's what it is. It's not called editor or, map editor for a reason, right? Like, it's called the Forge because it is a game in and of itself. And I mean, we set it up right from the get-go. Like, we wouldn't have included it in our game if it wasn't something that was as social an element as like custom games or say films. I mean, everything in our game, we try to make it social, and this was really no exception.
Does Forge also integrate with save films and screenshots? You can do that stuff in the Forge.
Yes. Yeah, just have a really ridiculously wacky Forge session, and then I'll just go watch the save film of that, just like you can any single player or multiplayer game. Because Forge is you're playing a multiplayer game.
There's gonna be some really strange machinima shot in films of the Forge. It's gonna be really kind of. Cool.
Combinations of Forge films, campaign films, and multiplayer films are going to get really weird.
In a good way.
And let's clarify that just in case you missed everything else. Forge is not a campaign tool. It is a multiplayer tool.
That's right.
You can't, although there's objects that are in campaign that you can use in Forge specifically. You can't adjust any campaign levels.
There's about 10 times as many secret invisible things in campaign missions that tweaking in any wrong way at all would cause the level to not work. So,
as we see time and time again.
Regularly.
Who broke the build?
D. Miller.
D. Miller. So he's breaking his build.
Well, thank you so much for stopping by, guys. I hopefully people understand the Forge a little bit better.
Hope so.
As is routine for outros, if you have any positive feedback, send it to Frankie. Anything you didn't like, send it to me.
Oh, wow. I know. We're trying to get ourselves the number one podcast on iTunes. So just abuse it. Just like,
are we really?
Get your relatives to download it. Is that important? Well, we realized we're doing really well on iTunes podcast, and we hadn't given any thought before competitively. But then Luke got me like wrapped up in his competitive vortex, and I'm now I want to be number one podcast on iTunes.
We can't beat MuggleCast.
We can't beat MuggleCast, like, which is the Harry Potter podcast. Don't tell me for adults.
What?
Yeah, Don't Tell Me is a great show.
I know, yeah, they're great, but they're our enemy.
They must now still be crushed under our boot heels.
And Car Talk.
Yeah.
Car Talk is great too.
Car Talk is a fine, fine show, but it must be destroyed.
All right, well, we're going to continue the quest for iPod iTunes domination, and we'll see you next time. Bungie Studios podcast is mixed and mastered by Steve Lopez, produced by Tom Giaconda and Chris Gossett, and hosted by Brian Gerard, Frank O'Connor, Luke Smith, and Bungie Studios.